Greetings in the name of Jesus. I trust that we've been encouraged and challenged, and I guess I marvel, a little bit of how the Lord leads, and I didn't really know who was going to have devotions or what was going to be said, and they didn't ask what I had in mind. So what he read, what Brother Leland read here in 1 Peter is kind of going right down what kind of I had in mind, and then even last Sunday, the little things that matter and the little things that we do in our lives, does it matter? You know, I believe that was the question. But greetings to each one in the name of Jesus. I trust that we've come hungering and thirsting for the Word of God and have a real desire to grow and to be more like Him. For a message this morning, and it's been several weeks when Steve wondered if I would preach, and then so my mind was thinking. And I guess for a title here in 1 Peter 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Brother Leland's read here, like I say, without me asking him, and that was kind of be my title. Our minds. You know, our minds are great. You know, sometime we've said or heard, you know, it's almost like a computer. And a computer, I'm not very computer knowledge, but to me they're just a marvel, you know, that I can't imagine how they work really. So you ask it something and it can about speak back to you. It can give you answers. Our minds are like that in a sense. Our minds can read something or see something and it can be in there for, you know, 50 years or 100, you know, how it depends on how old you are. Our minds can read, and when we're young, it's a lot easier to learn different languages. For me, it was a struggle. I didn't do very good, but or even to learn memory verses. You know, I believe it's so good while you're young children, you know, learn memory verses. And we talked about that at the breakfast table, and then learn the references. I said, seem like I can remember verses, but I have a hard time remembering verses or the, you know, where they're found. But that's our mind. Our minds and are something I had to think, you know, when the Russians, the first time they went up to outer space, I believe they were the first, and they went up there and they looked around and they said they didn't see God. So there must not be a God. Well, if you would cut open a body, if a doctor would come here and tell us about the body, and I don't know that much about it, but if he would cut open our heart, you know, he couldn't tell if our heart was sinful or good, I don't believe. And if he would operate on our head and take our brains apart, where would he find our mind? And it seems like in the Bible, and I'm kind of going to lump this all together, our heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's in your heart? What's in your mind? And I'm just bringing that kind of so we all understand, it's kind of, to me, I'm bringing it as the same thing. It's something in us, a spirit that's in us that we'll never die. And that's a sobering thought. That spirit within us will never die. Our body will die and decay and turn back to dust. Everything you see here in me or in you will turn to dust, the Bible says. But the spirit of man, the mind. Our minds are capable of many things. And that's probably why David wrote, you know, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Our mind can, you know, we can talk to somebody on the phone and yet almost talk to somebody else. Our mind can be in church here today, but yet be out farming. You know, and our mind can be adding up numbers and yet be sitting in church singing. You know, our mind, it is something. And that's probably why when David thought of that, he said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Who can, then when you think of the mind of God, it says, who can know the mind of God? How we as people cannot understand that. But as a whole, and I'm not saying we can understand each other 100%, but as a whole, I believe our minds as humans are pretty much the same when I say it that way. Sure, some like blue or red or yellow, and some like Ford or Chevys, and some like John Deere's, but mostly our minds are kind of the same. And I'm saying that to as an encouragement for young people. You're not so different. You're not so alone, you know. And I believe that's one of the tricks of the devil is to isolate somebody and get their minds thinking that they are different, that there's nobody that understands. There's nobody that goes through what I go through. You know, that's what the devil's trying to do. kind of like coyotes do with a herd of, a flock of sheep. They try to isolate one, and they'll destroy it because it's isolated. But we are people, and I think probably we understand each other a lot more than we let on sometime. And sometime other people understand what we're going through a lot more than we think they should understand. But that's because our minds are, and we are more made that way. We're all one blood and one flesh, and it probably doesn't matter the color of our skin or if you're from Haiti or China. We kind of feel and think the same way, and that's our mind. So the Bible is saying, gird up your mind. In an amplified Bible, it says, brace up. Brace up your mind. Strengthen your mind. And when you think of that, like Leland stressed, the best way and is you have to be born again. And if we are born again, and I believe that's a kind of a fine line between that, we are born, if we are here as a people, and I trust that every one of us are born again. But our mind still goes on, if I say it carefully, can still play tricks with us. Our mind can still be born again, and I believe it's a temptation, you might say, to legalize everything and make religion for ourselves. When Jesus came on the earth, you know, and taught and spoke to the Christian people or the Pharisee people, the church at that time, they had a mind of how it should be, and he was saying, no, you know, look, you know, it's a little different. And I believe that's always a temptation. Our minds can play in that sense. We can become a Christian and join the church, and now we're safe, or our minds maybe goes in neutral, and we do things, and our mind is not really in serving the Lord and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's then I had to think of, and like Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Somehow it is a little different there. The heart and mind, we can say it with our mouth if you say it that way. Our mind can say, yes, we love the Lord, but yet our heart is not in it. So our heart needs to be in it. And to have that mind. And that's part of the exercise. I believe exercise, the Bible talks about exercise, that bodily exercise profited little, but godliness profited for all. So it is very important as a young person and as an old person that you exercise your mind and gird it up and use it. And I believe in a sense we train our minds. And I'll say that carefully, I guess. When we do become born again, I believe in a sense we're serving a new master. The mind of Christ needs to come within us in that. But yet our natural, because we are in an earthen vessel, our natural tendencies sometimes still are there. Our natural tendencies sometimes are still there to the extent that we can still have our emotions go up and down. I believe we all know that. If you're honest with ourselves, our emotions can go up and down. This the other day, while I was thinking prior to this, I followed a vehicle on highway, on I-5, and a truck was going and another car was passing, you know, and they were both going about 65. So everybody sat behind that vehicle going down, locked up at probably 65 or a little bit under, it felt like. And the man in front of me, all of a sudden I seen him waving, you know, and his emotions got stirred. If somebody got in his way and his emotions started going up, or the pressure, or whatever we call it, started building, and then the steam started coming up, you know, and he started waving. I had to think, well, in Haiti, I don't believe I ever seen that. And I've seen some really wild, funny driving. If we'd go down the interstate and if somebody would have wanted to pass on the third shoulder or the fourth shoulder, they would have done it. And nobody would have waved at them, hardly, it don't seem like. Somebody wanted to make a U-turn on I-5, they would have done it. It doesn't matter, you know, they just seem like a little different. But since I'm home here and you watch people and their reaction, well, he was, you know, the pressure was there. And that's how it is, you know, even in all of life. You can wait if you're in the checkout line and the pace is slow and you know you have to hurry, the pressure goes up. If you're a farmer and you have hay to make and the rain comes and something happens like that, the pressure goes up. You know, we have that. We live with that. So we're born again people, but how do you work with the pressure that comes from around us? And also it was a blessing, the verse that Mahia read there in John 16, the last verse. It says, thought I could say it, but something about the peace of God. But then it just says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. A statement. And sometimes our minds we want to almost erase that, I believe. I believe Christianity as a whole, we put a lot of focus on being born again and being a Christian and everything's going to be all right. You know, it's almost the health and wealth gospel that, and you know, we like to feel like, well, everything is going to be all right. Well, it is all right in a sense that we can have Jesus, we can have God to help us through the tribulation. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. Smile, you know, be of good cheer while you're going through life and all that. But so here, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now in my Bible, I just noticed that this morning here as I read through this again. And I'll read it here, what it kind of brings out here as far as the girding up in the loins of our mind here, if I can find it here. Here it says, the exhortation to set one's hope involves an inward resolution. Gird up the loins of your mind. The imaginary is that of personal discipline and outward conduct. Now, we just, in Corinthians there, that I believe, Elmer, you gave them verses there, 1 Corinthians 10, was it, that casting down imaginations, it says there. Casting down imagination. Our minds are still going, and they go all the time in a sense. It's not like a computer where you can shut it off very easy unless you go to sleep or you know, we say out of our mind. But mostly our minds are going. But here he says, casting down imaginations, or it gives a thought here that the imagination is that of a personal discipline. So it's up to you to discipline the imaginations of your mind and heart and outward conduct. Then here, be sober. Here it says, be free from every sort of mental and spiritual intoxication. Be sober. Keep your own mind. Where do you look when you are depressed, or we'll get into that a little more, or you are discouraged, where do you look? Here he says, be sober, giving the thought of keeping your own mind. Don't let other things come in and intoxicate it or pollute it. So be careful in that, you know, that thought there. Then going back to Psalms 18. And I guess mostly in this, and I'm not coming at this with all the answers as somebody that has the answers for our minds and all that, but it seems like the Bible does have the answers. Now, that's what I want to do, is point you to the Bible in a sense that it will encourage everyone here and help us have right thinking, to encourage us. In Psalms 18, verse 28, it says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And in a sense, that's this probably saying the same thing as, thou, you know, you must be born again. But I like the thought here. It says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Darkness, you know, that is something that's probably different than in a computer. A computer, you don't have nothing except what you put in it, you might say, or something. But our minds, we're born with the nature of Adam, in the sinful nature of Adam, you might say, in us. Because sin is passed down upon all of us, even a young child. And I had to think, if you'd take that young child and put it in a room here and let no outward influence come in its life, you know, would it still be darkness? I don't know, you know, what makes us, what is that? But it's something within us. And the Lord God here will enlighten my darkness. And Jesus, it was, you know, prophesied in Isaiah, though all those that sit in darkness, Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to take away that darkness. So darkness, you know, discouragement, and all those things that go with that, that's not from the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's from the world or Satan. And I have to think, you know, this as, and that's what we want to do this morning. Just when John the Baptist seen Jesus walking down there by Jordan, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world. He has come to bring light. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, you know, and John there talks about, and we can have light and we walk in the light. Back in Isaiah 2, verse 5, it says, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that's, I trust, that what we all want to do. You know, it's not just because we started out being a Christian. If we started out being a Christian, you know, 50 years ago or 40 years ago, the call is still the same. Come on, let's keep on walking with the Lord. That's why we need to gird up our minds and hope for the end. We're hoping for something different, and we're working here in a sense for payday. We're working here and striving here because we have a reward coming that we want to be with Christ. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the world. In the light of the word of the Lord. And then Colossians in the New Testament, going there, Colossians 1 verse 13, there it gives the promise that he can deliver us from the power of darkness. You think about that, that deliver us from the power of darkness, that we don't have to go back into darkness. We don't have to go back, you might say, into sin. He has put our feet upon a solid rock, and now we are in Christ Jesus in that sense. So the promises of God are sure, and they're there continually. I like that thought there, that he's just here in verse 13 of chapter 1, it says, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the power. And I guess as going through here, as time is going fast, and as you think of being redeemed from the power. Then in Isaiah 26, I found the book of Isaiah had so much on that. But turn into a few verses here in Isaiah 26. The verse there in verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The thought there, you know, we notice the mind that is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And, you know, did this writer, I guess that was the thought, did the writer here, did he know anything about tribulation? Did he know anything about all the hurts of life? Did he know Job? And I guess for an answer to that, look in chapter 25, the first four verses there. Now, I just read that it says here that Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And now in verse chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, and a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, and it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. I believe here it's talking about the strong in mind, or the strong, the Christian people. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Now notice verse 4, it says, For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. I believe that's talking about trials and temptations and things that we all face in life. A strength to the poor. Have you ever felt that, you know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And we're happy that we have food for the day. It says, a strength to the needy in his distress. So there's distress, and, you know, and that causes the emotions to, you know, that causes fear and uncertainty. And then it says, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. You know, just a shadow. You know, you go out on a day when it's 100 degrees, you know, and the sun, it's maybe 110, and you're glad for just a shadow or a shade from the tree. We're glad for this help, any help that we can get from God, is what he's kind of saying here. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And we could go to Psalms. We know David had times of fear, times of stress that he wrote about. And yet the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, the beautiful writings that he did from that. And I believe Apostle Paul had times, he said, the fear of the weight of the church within and the fears from without and the persecution that he was going through. He felt it. the emotions and the things that come to us. And I guess, you know, in all that, then we think about, well, who can we turn to? Here it says, because those that are trusting in Him, our feelings, our mind, you know, our mind, we can kind of control our feelings, but yet if, you know, we smash our finger, whether we're converted or not, our finger's still going to hurt. And I guess that's maybe the something that I want to make so we understand, you know, your minds. You have been a Christian for, you know, 40 years or 100 years or 10 years or 1 year, and you're debating about being a Christian. But, you know, if you break your leg and or a tractor runs over, just say, or you burn your arm, it hurts. So our feelings are still there. Our inclinations of the natural body are still there. But I believe it's our minds that we kind of control that. And in the, you know, in the New Testament says, let your moderation be known to all men. In other words, as a Christian, we should learn to have a governor. You know, on equipment or on a motor, we can have a governor. We set it so it only idles so slow so that it don't stall. Then we have a governor so it don't go too fast, or the motor would, you know, go too fast and blow up and destroy itself. That moderation, that governor that we need to put upon, you know, it's something that somebody else can't really do for us. It's something that our minds have to do for ourselves, in a sense that, yes, when something goes wrong, you know, we don't have to react in anger, in bitterness. If something goes wrong and somebody does something, we can forgive. Somebody else can't make us do it. You know, all the things that Job went through, you know, when in his mind, you know, when they came and said that, you know, your house burned down, and I didn't go read it there. You know, everything was destroyed and your children got taken. And how did he feel? You don't think his mind and emotions were going? It, you know, his wife, it was going there also. And, you know, she leaked it out a little bit. You know, she said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't we just give up? You know, where something is wrong with us. You know, we made wrong choices, and then his good friends came and sat there and they said, well, you know, there has to be something wrong with you. There has to be something wrong in your life. And Job, you know, sat there and took it and took it and took it. But, you know, in the end, God blessed Job and God was that way. But when people are struggling, you know, and sometimes that's the bitterness of it, sometimes in our quick to fix something, you know, we say, well, there's something wrong with you. Well, that doesn't help. I know something's wrong, you know. Something's wrong. I'm discouraged. What is wrong? Why am I discouraged? Well, the mind is there because I guess I'll say it carefully. Our mind can become sick, I believe. Our mind can become, you can get old Alzheimer's. You know, that's something probably as we get older we would all fear, you know, somewhat. You know, who wants to get Alzheimer's when you don't know what's going on in your mind, you know, and all those things. So to have a sound mind, to have a good mind is something to be thankful for, and it's something that we need to protect and care for and exercise. But it is so important, you know, in the sense of the sowing and reaping. There's also that law probably goes on in our mind, just like it does in our body. We can't just eat and drink and do anything we want and expect to be healthy. There's things that we would need to exercise ourselves in, and I believe our minds is the same way. The battle of the mind, we all have it. You know, a week or two ago, you know, when the boys called and said, well, we have a fire. Well, you know, that sends, what does that do to your mind? You know, you fear the worst. You know, we have a fire. A tractor and baler burnt up. But it's our mind where it goes more than anything else. And we can say, well, you know, sure you have insurance. But if you wouldn't have it, or you would have it, it still plays something in your mind. And I believe people when they go to the doctor and they say, well, you have something wrong and we can't fix it. You know, cancer, we feel that. It's something that it does something to our mind. I believe it takes a godly mind to overcome that fear and to build yourself up in the Lord and to trust Him in that. And I guess in visiting with Silas, maybe I hope you don't mind if I share that. You know, I mean, mark the good man or follow his faith, you know, but you know, you go to the doctor and he says this, and I don't remember what it was, but he said, well, I want to go and be anointed first. Well, that's a good mind. That's something that didn't just happen. You know, I want to seek God first. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about this king, a foolish old king. You know, he got sick, and yet it says in all this, he didn't turn to God. Well, it takes a mind to turn to God when you hurt. It takes a trained mind. It takes some exercising of your mind. It takes, because some reason, there's always that darkness within lurking in the corners of our cells. And when I say that, it's in a sense that when discouragement comes, you know, you tend to forget God. Elisha, there after seeing the God on Mount Carmel, you know, after seeing all that, and yet when the queen said, you know, you're going to be dead, he went out into the desert there and said, oh God, take me. I'm, you know, he was just, but God had a work for him to do. And I guess that would probably be my next point. As you think of a discouraged mind or a down mind, does God have a work for you to do? Get out and do something, you know, do something for the neighbor, you know, and for the sisters, you know, you can bake cookies for someone or the shut-in, and probably the best exercise of mind from discouragement is to do something for somebody else. You know, just get out and try to find somebody that's hurting and looks, you know, they're worse off than you, and they have a need, and start filling that need. You know, because it seems like, in a sense, it's though we are fearfully and wonderfully made, it almost seems like we are kind of ingrown if we don't turn out, that we self-destructing almost, if you say it that way. I don't know what other words you'd use. But, you know, we can destroy ourselves from within because our mind is not strong and because our mind is on, because of fear. And, you know, that's even in the medical world, because of stress and fear is number one killer almost. You know, it causes heart attacks, it causes your mind to snap or nervous breakdowns. You know, but God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I guess to, you know, the trust and the faith in God. How does God look at us as a people, you know, if our faith and trust is not in him? How it would be, you know, if we'd have a little baby and, like Leland was mentioning, you know, and that child would get a little older and say, well, you know, I want this and I want this, and ignore the mom and dad in a sense, you know, or, you know, as they get older. But how does God look at us after what he's done for us and saved us and helps us to have a sound mind and body? But yet we ignore him in a sense. The lack of faith, the lack of trust. And Jesus, you know, when his disciples were there in the boat, you know, he says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is my faith? And, you know, when the waters and the waves of life are high, you know, where is our faith? Because tribulations will come. In this world ye shall have tribulations. In this world there is not nowhere in the Bible I could promise anyone here, you become a Christian and God will take care of you and everything will be all right. You know, your the stress level is gone. Well, yes, it is in a sense that we can cast all our cares, all our burdens we can take to the Lord in prayer. We can do that, and we need to train ourselves. And I'll say it again, we need to train ourselves to think of God. When hard times come, God, are you speaking, you know, to me? And God, what is that? Then I come to the question, is discouragement wrong? And I'm not sure how you would answer that. How would I answer that? And I don't believe I would have the answer to that. And the wife and I, we talked about it, you know, and we go around and around. Is discouragement wrong? Well, the children of Israel left Egypt. They had it rough there. They were slaves. They were in terrible conditions, you might say, in Egypt. And they left there, you know, and it wasn't long on their journey, they become discouraged. Well, was that imagination that they become discouraged? Yes or no? Did they have a reason to become discouraged? Seems like it. There was no water. What are you going to do without water? You know, if you go out in the desert and you're walking across there. So in some ways, life sometimes puts things through us that, yeah, there's a reason to be discouraged. There was no water. But the sin in it is the lack of faith, the murmuring, the complaining, the blaming. Oh, you know, they had a whole list. Moses was to blame, wasn't he? You know, and they complained about this and they murmured and murmured and, you know, and in Hebrews it talks about that. Their sin of murmuring and their lack of faith was the sin. So there is discouraging things that can come to life, I believe. There is things that can make us become upset or angry, if we say it that way. And I'm not justifying it, you know, put away wrath. But be ye angry and sin not. But there is that emotion, you know, and sometimes it maybe is when you see a big bully, you know, pestering a small child, you know, you can become, you know, that stirs your feelings there. You know, why is he being so unjust? Or how we can treat someone else, you know. But that can lead to sin, the complaining, and that's why I believe we need to train our minds to pray for each other. Pray for the leaders, you know, the church, that they continue to have a sound mind, and pray for those that are in authority. You know, that continuing on, taking it to God in prayer, I believe, is a real help to a strong mind. Hebrews 12, verse 6, have we forgotten? So what's Hebrews 12, 6 say? What have we forgotten? I better turn to it. Okay, Hebrews 12, 6, but verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Have we forgotten that we're going to have trials and tribulation in this life? Have we forgotten that God loves us? I guess answer that. Have we forgotten that God loves us? That everything is not so good just because, or so, in a sense, that we should just be so happy. In verse 11 there it says, and no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. That's why it's so important to exercise our minds, to gird up our minds to right thinking. Because discouragements come and hurts come. And the Bible does say, though, that, you know, that we should not be so easily offended. And that, you know, gives me my one point was there, you know, humility of mind. How do we train our mind? The Bible says that we're not to think so much of ourselves and not to be proud or high-minded, but yet we're to have a humility of mind. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, Apostle Paul writing here, it says, I am the least of all the apostles. Well, that sounds great, you know, the least of all the apostles. There was 12 of them, you know, and that. But then Ephesians 3, verse 8, it says, Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Are you happy for the grace that was given to you, even if we're the least of all the saints? In this church building, you know, if you're the least here, this grace that God has given us, that we can have forgiveness of sins, and the grace that God loves us enough to forgive us and love us and to give us life everlasting. One writer here says, opinions of ourselves is like casting of shadows, which is always the longest when the sun is at the greatest distance. So if you follow that, the opinions of ourself is like casting of a shadow, which is always the longest when the sun is at the greatest distance. How close are you to Jesus Christ? How close are you to the head? But you know, when the sun gets way over there, my shadow looks pretty long. You know, I can look down there and say, boy, I look pretty big. But you know, when the sun is close and directly overhead, you know, we don't leave a shadow. So think about that, I guess, in opinions of ourself. In Romans 12, the renewing of our mind. I always love them verses there. In Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to read verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, that takes a lifetime, doesn't it? Just to learn to exercise ourselves unto godliness, to be like Jesus, to really be like Christ and to serve and not wanting to be served. You know, that's Jesus said he came to be a servant and not to be served too, but not conform to this world, you know, the world and the pomp and look what I did and look how I look and look how, you know, all the pride of life is there. Well, that has to be, we need to renew our thinking there. We need to be born again. in training our minds to follow God. And the next point would be there in closing, I guess I'll say that, you know, have our minds trained in a sense that we are listening to God. That we're willing to listen. You know, we're not just saying, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a member of the church now, and done. Well, that's just the start. Sorry to say, you know, if you got born again and you got baptized and you're a church member, that's just the start of following God. Now what does God want for you? Now what does God want for your life? You know, where does He want you to live? And where does He want, who does He want you to talk to? I guess that's where you have to first start. And I'm thinking in there of Samuel when he's young, you know, and God's called him. And then God, and then Eli, the man that he gave this message to, but Eli, the wise old man that he was, said to Samuel, when you hear God calling, and I guess that's the challenge to everyone here this morning, when you hear God calling, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, are you ready to commit your life to that? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And, you know, in that case, it was go and talk to Eli. Wow, that was hard. Go and talk to Eli and tell him that you know, because of sin and because of this, that will happen. And, you know, and God spoke to Jonah and he said, just go warn Nineveh. But why was that so hard, you know? But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he? He went the other way and he ended up in the belly of a whale. But later on, he was willing to go, but it seemed like he still was. His mind did it and his heart wasn't in it. That's how it seemed like. But why was that so hard to go speak to somebody or warn somebody? But go and, you know, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, you know, for thy servant here. Then sometimes it does, you know, involve going to China or going somewhere else. And I don't believe it should be a strange thing, you know, for the Christian people or the Church of Christ to have people that, you know, it's a steady feed of it. They're going here and they're going there to serve in other places. I believe, and I like that about our church here, you know, that, yes, it's not so strange. Somebody's going somewhere else for a while. And I think in that, with that, listening to God and having a, you know, our missions outreach program, if you say it that way, you know, whether it's going and telling someone in Eugene or having offerings for people that have needs in other places where they have not the abundance like we do here, I believe that should be the normal. But it takes a little bit of a training of our mind, you know. Well, you know, we work for it and we have many needs among us, you know, so why look elsewhere? But think, you know, think elsewhere sometime. Train our minds. Gird them up. And the last thought, I guess I thought that was the last one, but the last thought is that in all that, in Hebrews 13, I want to turn to. Train our minds to believe that we have no continuing city here. And I know we say it. And I know, you know, in a way we know it, but are we preparing, you know, for the next life? Are we preparing for that, realizing that we have no continuing city here? And I believe that covers a lot of things in life. That covers the covetousness that's in our heart. When we realize that, well, we're not going to be here forever. We have another place to go. Let's see, in Hebrews 13, 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So the last part there, we seek one to come. I believe that gives the thought of training our minds and having a sound mind and keeping a sound mind, because we're on a trip and the going is rough, but we have a goal because we seek a city that has, you know, that, like you would say, that is found, the maker is God. For here we have no continuing city. And we need to prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. That story of the servants talking, I believe it was, after their master died, and they wondered, well, was he going to go to heaven? And the servants said, well, they sure didn't see him packing or preparing to go to heaven. You know, he said, you know, when the master goes on a trip elsewhere, he packs in suitcases and fills the car up in the truck, you know, and he's prepared to go on a trip. But how does it look in our lives? Are we preparing to go on a journey? Are we preparing to die? Are we preparing our lives? And do we have our houses set in order that we can go to be in that city in heaven? And closing there in Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as we go through life, delight thyself in the Lord. I like the thought there of Psalms. Delight thyself in the Lord. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord and all that. But delight, you know, you think about serving the Lord. It's a delight because He's such a help in this uneven journey of life. And I guess in all I said and all that, you know, and I guess in watching people make choices, not long ago somebody said, well, you're old enough to see the consequences of people that made wrong choices. And yes, that's true. As you get older, I can watch people, my brothers or one of my brothers and brother and sisters, you watch them make wrong choices and you see the results of wrong choices now as you get older because it's just there. What you sow, you'll reap. And you know, the thing is that I thought about whether you're young, and sometime when you're young, especially you young people, when you look out in life and you look at the journey of life and you look like it's a long ways and it's a lot of time and it can be so discouraging. But you know, the thing is, you've got to go through life, unless you're dead, you've got to go through life whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. And I'm just challenging you, delight yourself in the Lord, and life don't get necessarily so much easier. But you have help. We have a shelter in the time of storm. We have a hope within us. We can have the peace of God that passes all understanding because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord. But thank you for your attention. We'll have a closing song.